But I know sooner or later there'll be a time for me to retire. But tonight, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and in front of the world, I have to announce to you that I will never retire. I will only retire when I'm dead in this ring. Over my dead body. I've got too much juice left. Woo! I'm still an itch boy. I love this business. I'm going nowhere. Thank you. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Bernard?
Ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio, with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. Look at that, I'm already rusty, because the wait is over, folks. No wait either. This is what I have affectionately been calling the end of the beginning, the final season of Banal of America Audio, season 10. We're going to end the seasonal format with the next 30 or so shows, and then God knows what we're going to do. But it's been a long time coming. People are very excited about the start of Season 10. It is the end of the beginning, as I say, and I guess since this is the season premiere, it's the beginning of the end of the beginning. And, of course, we cannot even talk about doing Banal of America Audio without our traditional season premiere guest. He is the man who inadvertently pushed me into all this via his amazing book, Rule by Secrecy. If I hadn't picked that book up at the store, oh, God, probably almost 15 years ago now, I wouldn't have devoted all my life to this stuff. It's scary to think about, but it's been a long, 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 long road, and it began with Rule by Secrecy for me. And so this our guest always holds a special place in my heart. He's the author of, as I said, Rule by Secrecy, Alien Agenda, Psi Spies, The Terror Conspiracy, Rise of the Fourth Reich, Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, Our Occulted History, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. Of course, Crossfire, the book that was a critical part of Oliver Stone's JFK movie. And he's got a new book coming out on June 13th titled The Illuminati, The Secret Society That Hijacked the World. And he's also involved with a reissuing of Battlefield Earth. That's the folks who helped us get this out. So we'll talk about the new book. We'll talk about the Battlefield Earth stuff. We'll talk about Donald Trump. I really want to get his opinion on all that. And a whole lot more. So welcome back to the show, Jim. Thank you very much for coming back on the show. You know, you're a hero and a friend, so I'm excited to be talking to you. It's been way, way, way too long since we've chatted.
Well, that's true. That's true. I just hope that you're not coming after me for setting you on the course down the rabbit hole.
No. My mother might want to have a word or two with you, but I think we're good.
You know, that's funny because early on years ago, she passed away now, but my mother once got on me. She said, "Aren't you worried about talking about all these people in government and all these people that are you know, running the show and everything, says, don't you think that could be dangerous? Maybe not be doing that. And you know what I told her? I said, hey, look. I said, what if the mothers of Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and John Adams said, hey, you're messing with the British Empire. That's the strongest empire in the world. Maybe you ought not be doing that.
yeah. Exactly. That's true. That's absolutely true. Now, I know people are going to be asking, because you had to cancel some stuff in April. How are you feeling? What's going on with the health update? You know, reassure folks who may have been nervous here.
Well, it's not real good, but it's not real bad. It's just that I've had some health issues. And I think it's curtailing me from traveling a lot, as far as like speaking on the telephone, getting my work done, I'm doing okay.
Right. Okay.
So I can't tell you how much I appreciate the one fellow there in Philadelphia that I was scheduled to appear. And I just told him, I said, I'm sorry, I'm just really kind of sick and I can't make this. And he said, I understand that. He said, but could I get you to write a little blurb and post it on the internet? Because he said, I've got people who are claiming that I'm a con man and that I never did have anybody lined up as a guest, you know, and that it's just a scam for making money. And I said, no, I'll be glad to help you out there. So I just wrote that little bitty piece saying, due to health reasons, I couldn't make that particular event. And Tim, you wouldn't believe it. That hundreds and hundreds of Facebook messages from people, you know, that I don't even know, and they're all going, God, come on, man, we're praying for you, we know you, we love you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, man, you're beloved, yeah. Man. You're absolutely, you know, I've done with a lot of folks in this field, and you're beloved, man.
What an outpouring, you know, it was really quite shocking and encouraging. It's like, wow, you mean there really is somebody out there reading it?
Oh, man, there's lots of us. There's lots of us. And as soon as folks knew I was getting you back on the show, they were asking me to ask you what was going on because they were worried, man. So that's good to know.
It's just, you know, I guess what it boils down to is old age. I don't care what they say. Getting old is just a bitch. It really is, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking about it. We were talking back, I think, like in 2004, 2005. That's how long ago it's been since we first started doing these interviews. And it's amazing. It's just the world's changed so much since then.
You know, I was thinking about that, too. Think about this, Tim. You know, back when, you know, say when we first did a show, every few weeks, an issue or a event would come up, you know, and everybody go, wow, and you'd want to talk about it. But it seems like now it's almost like every other day.
Yeah.
You know, is time speeding up?
I don't know what's going on. I mean, I think a lot has to do with this, like, we're part of this crazy social media world, you know, where it's like, the internet's changed everything so much. It's really scary in a way, you know. It's people's lives get destroyed and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, it's just absolutely wild. I mean, I don't think you and I even could have. I mean, what I was doing back then was crazy. You know, it was like, what is this? You're doing a radio show on the internet? Like, I tell people all the time, it wasn't even called. There wasn't any such thing as podcasting, you know. So, and now it's like, oh my God, it's just everywhere, all the time. It's really crazy. So
that's right. But I think that's also helps speed up the general education and thought processes of the human herd. You know, we learn things quicker. We learn things faster. And all of a sudden it's like things are really rolling along.
Right, right. Yeah, we talked. The first time we did the interview was August 4th, 2005. So almost 12 years. And it's it's funny, you know. It was like it's just crazy in a lot of ways the way things have evolved, you know. Because when we first started talking in 2005, we were right in the heart of the whole 9/11 thing. Now it's like 9/11's old news. You know,
right.
It's scary.
Except it's not.
No, of course,
you know,
not. Of course not.
There's still people running around who have no idea that a third building collapsed.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of strangeness there. Now, I guess what are you thinking right now with this world? Because like I find things just so confusing, and also I marvel at the current state of the world in a sense, because like what you and I have done, especially you, really, for years, and I've just sort of followed your work and followed the work of other people and stuff, but I mean, the dreaded C-word, conspiracy, you know, that was like verboten.
Right.
Until you know, this last year. It's like this whole, and now it's like conspiracies are everywhere, you know, thanks in large part to Donald Trump and thanks in large part to the people who were against him on both. I mean, all sides have their pet conspiracy. It's absolutely unbelievable. It really is, to see from someone who's been in this field for, like, years and years, it's unbelievable to see the world now. It's like everyone's a conspiracy theorist.
I know.
It's wild.
I know. It's kind of like, oh, my God, the paranoids are after me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, well, listen, you're going to really enjoy the new book, The Illuminati, The Secret Society That Hijacked the World, because that, I think, will help put together a lot of this stuff. It's kind of a follow-on to Rule by Secrecy, except in Rule by Secrecy, we're just kind of hitting the high points. And this one, I think we get into all the detail of who, how, where, when, why, and it'll help, I think, put it together for you. And what's spooky is going into it, I'd heard all the stories about the Illuminati, and they're behind everything, you know. And I was quite cynical about all that. I said, nah, come on, you know, yes, there are conspiracies, but, you know, just one grand conspiracy that's behind everything, behind the communists, behind the Nazis, behind the terrorists, behind everything, you know. I said, that's a little far-fetched. Until you start digging into it.
Right.
And then you find out the connections, the fact that it goes back all the way to the attempts to control humanity, that goes back as far as pre-biblical days. And it's like all of a sudden, and then you realize that the Bavarian Illuminati, which once they were outlawed and broken up, they folded themselves into Freemasonry. And then took on aspects of a lot of the other secret societies, the Essenes, the Roshanas, the Essenes, the Gnostics, and all of a sudden it's you realize that they created the League of the Just, which then changed its name to the Communist Party once they decided they wanted world revolution. And then with the reaction against that, we see the rise of National Socialism, which was in German, the acronym is Nazi. And so it's like, holy cow, they really kind of are behind everything.
It's pretty crazy. Now, I guess it's such a divisive topic, but you have to discuss Donald Trump. What is going – I remember when I saw you in Aurora last April, you and I were both kind of scratching our heads, like trying to figure out what the hell was going on with this thing. And now he's the president. So, I mean, I assume you've been following this very closely. Like, what the hell happened, man? I don't get it. I really don't get how this – I mean, I understand how he was elected in a sense that, you know, he appealed to people and with the way he ran for president and everything. I understand that, but it's like, if there really is these secret societies, like, pulling the strings, like, what is their motivation to install him as the president? What do you think?
Well, the Clintons had become very obvious. They're the most corrupt outfit ever, okay? Selling our uranium to Russia and being lax with national security and pushing for New World Order, pushing for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, everything, you know, just pushing us straight down this road to socialism. And I think what happened was here, number one, the good part of it is that most people saw this election not so much as an election, but as a referendum for the New World Order. And just like the people in Britain said, despite the pleas and encouragement of their leaders and their media pundits, said, no, we're pulling out of the European Union.
Right.
And that caught them by surprise. They weren't ready for that. And I think they weren't ready for a Donald Trump. And but the problem was, who was really Donald Trump all along? And that's the $64,000 question. He said a lot of the right things and got a lot of the people who were believing him on his side. And then, but now his follow-through has been particularly dismal.
Right.
All he's done is just put more of those neocons and hawks into office. This is the big elephant in the living room. They get us whipped from pillar to post, arguing over social issues, stem cell research and same-sex bathrooms, and I don't know.
Right.
Stupid stuff. When in reality, the thing that's killing this country is that we're spending, the greater portion of our wealth on what they euphemistically call defense, but actually it's just war. It's the war machine.
Right.
We're fighting in all these different countries, and I think that's why Bernie Sanders saw such a resurgence of support as people. We're beginning to think, maybe he's right. Maybe we don't need to be fighting in every little two-bit country and sending all our money, not to mention the lives of our young men and women, over to these these places that a lot of people can't even pronounce, much less don't even know where they are. And Trump seemed to follow on some of that. And then now he's turned around. He's invaded Syria and other places.
He's trying to start a war with North Korea, it seems.
In North Korea, for God's sakes. And what's that all about? North Korea is, that's the little yappy dog that just, growls and stiffens up and barks, and they're trying to keep the big dogs off of him, you know? And all we got, the way I look at it is, all we got to do is leave him alone. And he'd probably go away, but here, North Korea. What? Okay, let's say they were able to build a bomb and get it over here, which so far they haven't shown that inclination. There, every time they have a big test, it either blows up or falls over or something.
Right. Yeah.
And but let's say they finally get one that works, and he's going to fire it over here. Well, they only reach the West Coast, so it looks like San Francisco or Seattle might be in danger, all right? But say they were to hit one of those places, that would be a disaster. That would be 9/11 all over again. We would go nuts, of course. But would that destroy the United States of America? Would we fall on our knees and say, "Oh, please take us over"?
Yeah. We're not going to start learning Korean because they dropped a nuclear bomb on. We're going to wipe them off the face of the earth.
Exactly. We would turn North Korea into a smoking pit. And so, what's the big deal? This is just, and besides that, hey, Tim, you know enough to know by now that when you get to that level, when you're talking about who's running the country, a country, any country, and how that they are deal with each other and the banks they have to go through to get the money to do the things they do and all like that, it's all tied together.
Right.
And it's all a deal, okay? This stuff about, he's shooting missiles. No, he's rattling the saber. That's just window dressing.
Yeah. It's like we don't necessarily. Right. this whole thing could be being, you know, orchestrated from China or something. They might they might see this as the opportunity to finally get in there and take this guy out, because they don't want to see the bad guy, so they're trying to, like, you know, manipulate us into doing it. Who knows? But it's just all very strange. And like you said, I don't quite. Donald Trump's just so enigmatic. It's very hard to figure out what his deal is, much less like what his motivations are or whatnot, you know?
Well, that's the problem. It's beginning to look like he just really doesn't have any.
Yeah, it seems that way.
He goes with whichever way the wind's blowing, whichever the way his relatives tell him.
Right.
You know?
He seems like, you know, it's funny. It seems like he. Well, we always say the president's just a figurehead. It seems like he just wants to be the figurehead without doing any of the other stuff. But.
Well, and that's why everybody went for him, is because at least early on he projected this image of someone kind of outside the mainstream, outside the controlling bunch, you know, and somebody kind of a maverick who might actually go the distance for the best interest of the people of the country, but doesn't look like it's going that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, imagine in a way it must be kind of, like, hard, too, because you win the election in a huge surprise, and then it's like you have to rely on the people that run the government. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't overturn the government without the help of the people in the government. So it's like it's quite a crazy situation.
It's a crazy situation.
Now, what do you think of this whole Russian conspiracy theory that they got him elected, that there was collusion?
Come on. At a certain level up there, when you're talking about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Clintons and the Bushes and the Putins, you know, they're all in touch. They all work together. They all understand what's going on, and they're going to work in their own self-interest, the self-interest of the ruling elite. Okay?
Right.
And they're not going to allow anybody in that's going to be that radically different. And the thing is, if the Russians can influence our elections, we wouldn't have had Barack Hussein Obama for 8 years.
I suppose that's true, but I guess a lot of
after 8 years, they finally figured out how to manipulate.
I guess my understanding is that they got these voter lists, and then they micro-targeted people online with, like, news and stuff to sway, because they knew exactly who to get, and they had, you know, like, computer programs that swapped these people with, like, negative news to keep them from voting. That's the theory.
That's the theory, but it's...
You're skeptical of that.
I'm highly skeptical of that. I think one of the things that happened is that I think that they were making statements, they were doing things, running things on RT and all like that, that may have swayed some number of people, you know, towards the whole thing. But the bottom line, as they say, is... They're not going to change anybody's mind or opinion. It's you know, and as far as trying to influence people, God, don't we all do that? It's called lobbying.
Exactly.
I mean, we got 20 lobbyists for everyone representing the public up in Washington now.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
So we've already got all that, you know. It's just nuts. There is a general consciousness rising that's going on. Again, we see that reflected in the vote for Trump, even though it looks like it may have now been misplaced. At least, you know, we were operating on the information we had at the time, and it shows that the bulk of the people are restless. they don't want to keep pushing in the same old way that we have in the past.
Now, I was wondering, do you do these interviews at this time of night so you get out of doing the dishes?
Yeah. Actually.
Smart man. I like it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild, man. I don't even know I just don't know what to say anymore. It's like I said, I guess, why do you think we talked about this sort of, like, conspiracy culture that's emerged in the last year or so, but, like, why? Why do you think now all of a sudden it's okay to talk about conspiracies? Why is it, like,
Well, because all of a sudden we now know that, see, they've done a really good job. You go back to the late 60s, and I have the CIA documents where they were sending out to all of their assets, and that includes not only just members of the CIA and CIA agents and stuff, but also news people connected, news people who would swap information, you know, for good coverage, for CIA stories, and just anyone that would listen to them. And they sent this message out, and it was to try to counteract the Warren Commission critics, okay, who said Kennedy couldn't have been killed by the one lone nut. There's got to be a big conspiracy here. Mm-hmm. And at that, they outline and tell you exactly, you know, if somebody tries to say there was a conspiracy, then you say they're just trying to sell books, or they don't know what they're talking about, or they don't have all the information like the government does, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it outlined the whole thing, and sure enough, it's exactly what we see reflected in the mass media. Same arguments, same rationale.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and that held up for so many years, because if you try to say something's a conspiracy, then you were a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Okay, and somehow that, you know, did not equate to being a thinking, knowledgeable person.
Yeah, you're a kook. You're a nut.
Yeah, although I've got a little sign here in my office that says a conspiracy theorist is someone who questions the statements and actions of proven and repeated liars.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Which is pretty true. Now, where that changed, Tim, was 9/11. 9/11 was a conspiracy. Come on, man. There's, you know, separate planes, separate hijackers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
all
even if you believe the mainstream version,
yeah,
it was a conspiracy.
Yeah, so. You know, even according to the official version, you know, it's a conspiracy. Even though we were lied to about everything connected to it, the John Farmer, who was the senior counsel to the official Bush-appointed 9/11 Commission, even has publicly stated that the account that they were given and that they gave to the Congress and the media and the public of what happened that morning is entirely and inexplicably untrue. What?
Yeah. What?
So, you know, so now we got a conspiracy not only to commit this dastardly act, but now we got a conspiracy to cover it up and not tell people what actually happened. And that's been gnawing on the body politic ever since. And then growing because of the ever-increasing disbelief of the public to the lone assassin theory of the Kennedy assassination, which has been totally blown out of the water by anyone who wants to stop and really actually look at the evidence. And
right.
So I think that has led now to a situation where today it's like conspiracy. Sure, there's conspiracies, and yeah, it could be a conspiracy. It's just the problem is since the officialdom, the government, will not fess up and say, okay, here's the truth, and tell us the truth about any number of things, then it leaves a conspiracy, it leaves a field to the conspiracy theorist. And sometimes they're dead on, and sometimes they're way far out, you know, but we're never going to get anywhere, and nothing's going to get better until we start dealing from a standpoint of truthful information.
Yeah. Well, this is a good pivot point from there, and that's I was reading an article the other day that these JFK files are due to be released in October,
and
only if Trump says it's okay. Oddly enough, like, which is kind of neat in a way because he's a conspiracy fan, it seems. So, do you think he'll release the files? And I mean, I'm sure you know probably as much about them as anybody possibly can. So, I mean, what do we know about these files and what might be in them?
Well, that's going to be the litmus test, okay?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking when I read the article.
If he says, okay, release everything, then, you know, maybe he's on the level. Maybe he's trying to bring a little truth and light out to everybody. But if he hems and haws around like Obama did and like other presidents have and go, well, we'll release a little bit of this, but now we'll keep this hidden away, and we don't want this out. This has national security implications. Then we'll know that he's just another tool job.
Right. Well, what do we know is in the files, though? I mean,
I
don't understand, like,
much.
They have a little bit of an idea. So, I mean, what do you know about them?
Nothing much. You know, I think anyone who's looking for a thank you note from Lyndon Johnson to Oswald is in for a disappointment. But what it is going to show is just more and more details showing that Oswald was connected to the government, as his mother always said. Working probably through Office of Naval Intelligence, then the CIA, and maybe even the FBI. That's been established just through the internal message traffic as deciphered by military historians based on CIA message traffic, which is now available. You know, the little code routings and everything. You know where it's going, know who's getting that. It's now shown and been proven that Oswald was being used operationally by the CIA prior to the assassination. So, you know, a lot of that's already out. It just has not been proven up. So as things come out and as we release the last of the documents being held, and even then you're not going to get anything, because when the Oliver Stone movie came out, and there was a great public pressure to release all the documents having to do with the assassination.
These are the documents that are left over that they wouldn't release.
Yeah, the Congress passed the Assassination Records Review Board, and they were supposed to release everything, you know. But for example, they went to the Secret Service and said, "We want your working papers for that day." In other words, what all your agents, what notes, what they write down, what they see, what they know about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Secret Service says, we lost them. We burned them.
What?
And this was after they'd been told they wanted them subpoenaed by Congress. So, see, there's still a great resistance on the part of some elements within the federal government to release anything that might be incriminating or might shed light on the coup of 1963.
Right. So do you, I guess we don't know, right? We'll just kind of wait to see if he's going
to
release these files or not.
Have to wait and see.
It'll be interesting, yeah. Now on to a whole different sort of conspiracy, in a sense, is this is the UFO thing. I haven't, like I said, I haven't talked to you in a couple of years, so I'm interested in your thoughts on where things seem to be going and everything. You know, even though I knew it was all kind of a sham and kind of a show, I was optimistic that the Clinton thing with the disclosure would kind of, like, at least maybe, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. I was hoping that
I think they were just playing to the audience.
Yeah, but what I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think it was a show and a sham, but I also think, like, that just even a rising tide lifts all ships, just even if it generates interest, a positive interest, it could help, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true, and that is working. There is less and less resistance towards trying to talk sensibly about the UFO issue. And they are here. They are real. The question is, you know, who are they and what do they want? And that's what we're working on. And that's what, again, you'll find some clues and some tracking in my new book, The Illuminati, The Secret Society That Hijacked the World. Because that goes back to some very educated and thoughtful men and women who were putting together knowledge based on stuff that's been handed down since the ancient astronauts, if you want to call them that. And and the evidence is pretty plain. So, yes, and I think that's what's happening. For example, when you and I started off here and we had a program like this, invariably somebody called in and say, get that guy off the air. He's a nut, man. Talk about UFOs. Talk about aliens. You know, come on. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't hear that anymore, okay?
No. I mean, if you look at the mainstream science stuff going on, it's like it certainly seems like they're nibbling around the edges of disclosure, in a sense, you know, where they're like, I think maybe they're trying to find the right way to sort of, like, unfold this whole thing, where they might just be like, they're out there, but they're way out there, and they can't hurt us or anything, and then kind of maybe work their way
that's right.
towards they're coming here or something. But
they, yeah, they're trying to figure out how to let us know that they're real and they're here without admitting that, well, yeah, and we've known about this since 1947. We've just lied to you.
Right. But if we, it kind of what you're saying, though, I think, with this Illuminati book and research is that maybe the powers that be or whatever, they've known all along about the aliens, and it's just that the world didn't find out until this UFO boom that started in the 40s.
That's true, and didn't quite put it all together. I live right here near Aurora, Texas, where
that's right.
where they had the famous crash of 1897, and they knew back then that something was going on, because I find out that they came along, they had law enforcement people show up, and they were taking up the wreckage, and they were hauling it away in wagons. So somebody somewhere knew this was going on, even back before the turn of the 20th century. But I think, to their defense, I think the powers that be actually kind of believed that maybe it would be in the best interest of everyone not to get into that, okay, and not to admit that that there were things flying in our atmosphere, and we not only did not know who they were, but we couldn't really do anything about it.
Right. This was like in the late 1800s, so it makes sense that they couldn't fathom it.
But things have changed, you know.
Mm.
I think if President Trump was to come on TV tomorrow and in all seriousness say, folks, we've discovered that there is life outside the Earth, and I think it's been visiting here possibly for thousands of years, and that's a good thing, because that means if their desire was to attack us and blow us up or conquer the world or whatever, they would have done it long before now.
Right.
We don't think it's any immediate danger, and your government is keeping its eye on the situation, and we'll keep you informed. I don't think anybody would, the bills would still come in.
Yeah, I mean, people would still have to go to work.
Life would still go on. We'd all get up and still go to work. And I don't think it would be that big a deal. But see, the problem is that right now there's nobody in office who has the cojones to stand up and say, yeah, okay, we lied to you for 70 years. Yeah.
Right. There's no really elegant way to get out of the cover-up.
That's right.
Unless they, I've theorized that they'll just stage an event, or hope for an event, or wait for an event like a Roswell crash.
Yeah.
And pretend like they're starting from scratch there.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're real.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us the last of your liberties so we can protect you. Space invaders. Yeah, and think about this, Tim. How are they going to make that work if nobody believes there's anything out there? And the polls going back into the 1950s, 60s, 70s shows and to a good extent today, shows that a good percentage of the population just does not believe that there's aliens and that they have the capacity to come to the to this world, or that they might actually be able to do something, you know.
Yeah.
So how can they mount a false flag? How can they get us terrified of a fake alien invasion if nobody believes there's anything there? So see, we've been undergoing this conditioning process where we see a little of this, we get a report of that, somebody sees somebody peeking in their window, that, you know, something lands in the highway.
Yeah.
And it's always just tantalizing. It's just enough that, well, there's something going on there, but yet we don't have it in hand. We can't take a picture of it. We can't measure it.
Right.
You know. And the times where they do have a crash and they do have some material objects or whatever, the government takes it up and hides it away, okay, mm-hmm. and acts like it never happened. So I think we've been in a conditioning process, but now, see, it's really worked because the national polls in the 50s showed that virtually no one believed there was any kind of intelligent life outside the Earth. Today, it's quite the opposite. Vast majority of people respond and say, yes, we think probably there's somebody out there. We just haven't quite met them yet, you know. And so now, see, now we're prime. Now, especially among younger people who grew up with Star Trek and Star Wars and, you know, aliens and, you know, sure, okay. And now you tell them, yeah, we got word that a fleet's on the way to conquer the world, and you've got to join ranks with us to fight them off. You know, a lot of people are going to go. They're going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, we've been talking since 2005, and I mean, I'd have to check to be sure, but I'm pretty sure we predate that whole Kepler thing. So it's like when we first talked, there was. Maybe I think they thought maybe there was like 12 planets or something like that. You know, at least nine that I know of for sure, the ones I was taught in school. And I think maybe there was some hanging around. And now it's like there's hundreds of planets they've found, hundreds and hundreds of planets. It's like.
That's right.
It seems like it's almost inevitable that, you know, they're going to put all the pieces together.
Yeah. That's why science fiction is having a resurgence, having to come back. People are paying more attention to it because what was rabid science fiction a few years ago now looks like it might be, you know, science on the verge of happening. For example, you mentioned they do have the new edition of Battlefield Earth out by L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes, I'm glad we talked about this, yeah.
That was one of the top-selling science fiction books ever. Back in the early 80s, I guess. And what's interesting is that it kind of parallels what's happening in the world today in that, unlike some of the more recent films like Independence Day, where they come down, try to blow up everything and eat everybody, this is a story of the intergalactic banks loaning money to the intergalactic mining company corporation, which then gets the contract to strip mine the Earth, but they're under a time restraint. You know, you've got to do it within a certain time, and it looks like they may not be able to make their deadline thanks to these pesky humans that are here. And so it's really an interesting story about how that the humans, ragtag little remnants of humanity, and they all get together to try to regain mastery over the Earth. But again, it's not like an alien invasion type thing. It's more like an alien business deal.
Yeah.
It's just cut a deal and that seems to be what's happening here. You know, we're fighting these wars all around the world, and when you really look at it, it's for oil, it's for pipelines, it's for poppy fields, it's for everything in the world except freedom and democracy.
Right, that's for sure. It's funny, we have made it this far, like 12 years now, and there's still no like one world government or anything, so a lot of the things we were worried about back then haven't taken place. I know it's sort of like the frog boiling in the water situation, but at the same time, it's like, well, they haven't got us with microchips yet, although I think the phones are really the microchips. That's my theory. that
I think you're right, especially the cell phones.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and now they're trying to put in these smart meters, which are going to monitor everything going on in your home. Absolutely no privacy, plus they're dangerous, plus they've been known to set fires, plus they produce what they call dirty electricity because it's just spraying electromagnetic energy all out into the atmosphere, and we've got enough of that problem right now with cell phones and cell towers and all like that.
Yeah.
And this is adding to it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. If you see the power company will tell you, oh, well, it's perfectly safe. Well, yeah, maybe the one at your house is safe, but what about when you add that to the thousands of your neighbors and in your neighborhood, and they're all beaming this electromagnetic signals at the same time? It can harm you. It can fry you. It really can. And yet nobody seems to be paying any attention. It's just, well, this is the latest thing. Oh, okay. Or what's even worse is I'm being told we want to put a smart meter on your home. And I said, no, I don't think so. I'll just keep an old analog meter. You know, it doesn't spray the electromagnetic energy like that one does. And they go, well, okay, but if you do that, we're going to charge you $300 a year plus $75 a month.
Jesus.
To harm yourself. You know, there's all kinds of scientific papers and studies showing that it causes all kinds of problems, especially with people with weak immunization systems.
Smart meters.
Pacemakers and things.
I've heard a little bit about these, but not enough that...
Not enough. You need to look into
it.
Everybody needs to look into this before they get us totally wired up, and then everybody starts getting sick and falling over and can't figure out why.
Well, you do have the book Population Control, so I assume that's kind of one of the tenets of this whole idea is to reduce...
Yep, it's in there.
Well, I guess that's another thing, though, in a sense. I mean, we've been talking for a long time, but they haven't, like, wiped out a giant swath of the population yet, so we're...
well, they haven't. The people haven't just dropped over like flies, so that it's real obvious, but if you'll go and look at the death statistics, more and more people are dying off of more and more weird things, you know. But it's just that, it's just like people that die of AIDS. They don't put down die of AIDS. They
like
put down, well, they died of pneumonia or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they just really haven't tabulated up on how many people are getting killed.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of like, this technology, I sometimes wonder, I'm helpless to do anything about it, and I'm probably being too paranoid, but I sometimes wonder if all this Wi-Fi is good, could be bad for us.
No, it can't be good for you. But once Pandora's box is open, you don't get it back in. You know, you can't very well come back and say, okay, everybody, hand in your transistor radios and hand in all your stereos and everything,
right?
Because it's bad for you. Nah. What we need to do, though, is we need to have some organization that actually represents the good of the people. Right now in Washington, you know, for every congressman, he's probably got like 20 lobbyists assigned to him and her. Telling them, oh, this is great. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And we all got to have this, blah, blah, blah. Well, where are the advocates for the other side? Where are the ones who will say, well, now, wait a minute, we've been looking at the statistics, we've been looking at the scientific papers. This stuff can be hazardous to your health. You know, it's just not there. And you've seen what we've gone through with cigarettes, for example. When I was a young man, it was, Lucille Ball and Humphrey Bogart, you know, on the TV saying, hey, smoke Camels, they're good for you.
Right.
And not only celebrities, but doctors.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing the ads where the doctors would say, smoke Chesterfields, they're more mild, you know. And then it took years of fighting with the tobacco industry before they finally grudgingly admitted that, they do cause cancer and they do cause problems. And then they began to work to try to curtail them. But where's a similar effort being taken to protect us from electromagnetic pollution? You know, it's just not there because everybody's making money on it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's kind of worrisome because you don't see it, but you're awash in these Wi-Fi waves. And I'm sure there's people listening who are like raising their fists and saying, "Oh, you're crazy. This is fine. It's this." But it's like, dude, I don't know. I mean, we don't have much of a reference point for like people living in seas of Wi-Fi signals. So it's
That's true. We
don't know. We just don't know.
We just don't know. All we do know is that if you were to stand in front of a giant microwave oven and turn that sucker way up high, it will kill you. Okay. So, you know, a little bit beaming you, accumulating in your system can't be good.
Right, exactly. It's like we may find out in 10 years that they're like, oh, it turns out you could probably go in a room and use the stuff, but you can't really live in it, and now everyone's got cancer. It's like, who knows? Who knows?
Exactly.
But well, if that happened, that's when they'd find a cure for cancer.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be any thought processes, you know, looking to the future as to what is this going to do, you know. It's just, hey, this is cute, and it'll make us some money right now. Let's do this.
Right. Well, that kind of connects, too, with the idea of, you know, that they're talking about robots all the time now. That there's going to be robots that they're already saying, like, that, you know, this may happen in like 10 years or something. This may really happen in 10 years. The whole trucking industry is going to change because they're going to have all like what do you call those, robot drivers, whatever, you know, automated driving trucks.
Yep.
But the argument I guess.
And we don't know what that, you know, what how that could turn out.
Not well. Probably not well. I mean, you may get your broccoli like a day earlier, but, you know, all these people are going to be out of jobs and stuff. Well, the thing is, like, no one, you know, I guess that, like, the point is that they don't really plan for all the consequences of these things, and this technology is getting better and better to the point that they need to slow it down.
That's true. But you try telling that to some big company that says, oh, we got a new Vivalfitzer here, you know, and we can charge $29.95 for this and make a million. Do you really think that there's going to be somebody who says, no, let's don't do that because the little parts may come loose and they might harm people and, you know, no, they don't think ahead like that.
Yeah, see, already people in the chat room are saying, don't worry about Wi-Fi. It's not ionizing radiation. So I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm still going to use it and enjoy it all the time, every day. So, but
just wear your aluminum suit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm already reserving the right ahead of time to say I told you so when I when my feet fall off or something. So we talked about have you ever considered this? Because I run in a lot of interesting UFO circles, and a lot of my friends, they're really down on the ETH, and I'm sure you've sort of heard all the arguments in a sense. So, like, I don't think we've ever really explored this too much, because it seems like you're pretty on board with what would appear to be Occam's razor's answer there, that the aliens are, that there's aliens and they're coming here. But a lot of people think, you know, all kinds of crazy different theories, you know, alternate dimensions, mind perception type things. I mean, what's your take on that whole thing?
Well, you know, I've lived through the whole thing, and back in the 50s, the question was, do they come from Mars or do they come from Venus? And then we got a little more sophisticated in our knowledge, and the question became, do they come from Alpha Centauri or Zeta Reticula 4, you know? But then we continued, and through the 80s, 90s, we even got more sophisticated in our thinking, and the question became, do they come from another time, another dimension, aspect of our reality?
Right.
And the answer is yes.
There you go. It's everything.
All of the above, I think. I think there's just all kinds of stuff going on in the universe, and some of it's quite real and quite here, and some of it's kind of nebulous, and some of it's kind of fleeting. You know, they may come here and take one look and go, yuck, who wants to stay here, you know?
Well, is there any of those sort of like far-out ideas that have ever like sort of caught your attention where you say, you know, I know you say yes, all the above, but at the same time, is there anyone aside from the ETH where you're like, yeah, you know, they could be time travelers. That might actually be possible or something. Has anything like that ever jumped out at you?
Well, if you really study the time travel issue, you find that that we are probably, this isn't me, because I'm just an old reporter.
Right.
I know what I know, but I'm not a scientist. But there are knowledgeable people who say that it's possible to have time travel within, say, 10 years. 10 years, that's not very long. And if they say we can have it within 10 years, that means probably somewhere in a government lab they've already got it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're already working that far ahead. Now, you know, how all that would play out, is anybody's guess. But, there's just so much weird stuff going on. And thankfully, most people don't have to deal with it. You know, they can either read about it in a science fiction book or see it on TV as a movies or just forget about it.
Yeah. That's an interesting point because you and I, we live in this field. It's kind of crazy. Do you ever, how does that make you feel? You know, do you ever get kind of fat? Do you ever wish you didn't know what you know? Because it's like frustrating as hell.
It'd be nice to kind of go back to being naive and wonder if there really is anything going on. But I tell you what, it's a cumulative knowledge. For example, as far as I know, I have never seen a UFO, that I could definitely say, well, that's a spaceship, you know.
Right.
Or for that matter, an alien that, I've seen lots of weird folks. Just go to Walmart sometimes. but I'm not going to try to say he's a Martian or
right.
they come from another star system. But when you've lived, studied, and talked to people like I have as a reporter over the years, and you talk to pilots, both their commercial and military, and military officers, police officers, air traffic controllers, people who know, and it's their job to know these things, then pretty soon you just know. You just know that they're real and they're happening. You know, it's amazing that we haven't caught one yet, you know, and we will eventually. That something will happen and it won't be just some couple out in the middle of nowhere that says, look what I saw. It'll be something that everybody sees, and we see this all the time. Just if you're skeptical in about UFOs, go to Google Images and just type in UFO.
Oh, Jesus.
And you'll be there for months, years maybe. And even if half of it is phony, that means the other half is not. So there's something going on, folks. There really is. There's a big, wide, wonderful universe out there, and every aspect of it does not include us.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We're lucky to have a role in all this.
We're lucky they haven't come and eaten us.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?